Praise God for the message in that song. God's invitation to come to Christ, to believe, to trust in Him. I thank God that He can speak through a song. He can speak through a card, a letter, an act of kindness. But God is speaking. He's speaking to all of our hearts. And here we are in a Bible-believing church on the first Sunday of a brand new year. We're not here by accident. God's brought us here. He's put it in our hearts that we do want to know God. We do want to seek His face. We do want a relationship with Him. And to God be the glory for the fact that that desire is even in our hearts. I hope you had a wonderful new year. Some of us were there. We had a good crowd at the bowling alley. We had a ball on New Year's Eve. And we just had a great time. It was so much fun just to see all the folks enjoying a fellowship and a time together there. And I trust that you've been praying and thinking about this new year already. We often hear people talk about New Year's resolutions. As I would understand it, God is constantly talking to us through His Word, and He's prompting us to steps of obedience, steps of faith. And so, yes, the New Year's a good time to evaluate and look back. But if we are truly in God's Word daily, there's going to be a daily walk with God where, yes, we're resolving to obey Him. We're resolving to believe God and to join Him in His work. Some of the common New Year's resolutions, spend more time with your family, get more exercise, lose weight again, give up a bad habit, learn a new skill, put more back into your community, your family, your church, get organized. You know, we all have these many areas, many fronts where we're for a lifetime working at the goal of glorifying God in a better way by being more successful in our faith walk with God. Now, I have found in my life, my experience has been that if you shoot for nothing, you hit it, you know. And so I've realized it's good for me to have some Spirit-led goals, not a legalism, but prayerfully looking at things and saying, how, Lord, can I improve? As someone has said, if you shoot for the moon, you may hit a telephone pole. And you need to have a goal. You need to have some godly aspirations, some things you're praying over. And I've found that it's good for me to write down some specific things I feel like God's impressing on my heart to improve on, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. It's good to have some things that you pray over regularly with your prayer list that you're asking God, Lord, I know this would honor You. Now give me the desire and the power to fulfill this to Your glory in my life. I realized looking back on the last year, my wife and I, we have some goals about desiring to give back to God's work and God's ministry. And so it was a good thing as I was coming to the end of the year to reflect and say, okay, am I caught up to date? Have I been faithful? Lord, help me to be faithful. I have a personal goal to get into God's Word in a meaningful way on a daily basis. Now, that's not a legalism. It's a step towards spiritual growth for me that I know if I get in the Word and spend time in the Word, that's going to help me to grow. So I have a goal every day to spend some meaningful time in God's Word. Now, we're human. We don't always hit that aspiration or that goal every day. But the Bible talks about a righteous man falls and yet he rises. Seven times he may fall, but he gets back up. And so those who are successful are not people who never fail. We're all failures. That's why Christ came. He died for sinners. But with God's Spirit in us, He enables us not only to know Christ, but to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that love relationship with Jesus can grow and will grow. Now, because every day is a gift from God, every breath is a gift from God, we have so much for which to thank God. I think of what Solomon said in Song of Solomon 1:4. He said, we will be glad and rejoice in thee. And that's the source of joy, isn't it, for us? It is our relationship with Jesus. It's our relationship with God. And our circumstances may change, but our relationship with God can be growing and maturing daily. And that is our desire for 2014. Now, I'm thankful that God's made a way for us to start well here in this new year and to start well in our own lives. We're going to look today at some keys to really starting well in this new year. And one of the things I want to point out to you is that our world has no lack of knowledge, just information. Matter of fact, one fella, his name's Buckminster Fuller, he created what's called the knowledge doubling curve. And you may have heard of this before. He noticed that until 1900, human knowledge doubled approximately every century. But by the end of World War II, knowledge was doubling every 25 years. Well, today, because there's so many different types of knowledge and they have different growth rates, for instance, nanotechnology knowledge is doubling every 2 years. Clinical knowledge every 18 months. But on average, human knowledge is doubling every 13 months. And so according to IBM, the build-out of the Internet of Things will lead to the doubling of knowledge every 12 hours. That's hard to even grasp that. But the Bible prophesied that in the Old Testament. The Bible said that knowledge would increase and that travel would increase. Well, do we live in that day or what, you know? Now, with this great increase in knowledge, we have all this information. The world's still plagued, isn't it? With an increasing amount of heartache, difficulty, wars, rumors of wars, broken lives, broken hearts. With all our knowledge, the world's problems seem to only be getting worse and more difficult. And so clearly the need is for more than just more knowledge or information. Well, what is the need? And I would suggest to you, based on the scriptures, that the need is to go back to the owner's manual. We need to go back to the Word of God because God created us in His own image. We're not going to find purpose and joy and the blessing of God except that we go back to His Word, the Scriptures. And so I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. And as we're turning there, I want to remind you that we as individuals, as families, as churches, as cultures, as schools, we need to all go back to the book. We need to go back to the Word of God. How many people, hopefully nobody here, has wrecked their car because they got a car, but they never took time to read the basic owner's manual? And I have heard about people who never changed their oil. Well, you get away with that for a while. But eventually, you're going to have a big problem if you don't do the basic things the owner's manual tells you that you need to do in maintaining that car. Well, I love what has been put together in the little diagram from the book Experiencing God. And someone has said wisely, the wisdom of the ages is to find out what direction God is going and go with God. Well, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? God's all wise. He's all powerful. And if I could just find out what way God is going in my life and join God, then I'm going to have omnipotence working in my life. And in this little diagram, which I hope that you'll take to mind, jot a little note there on your paper of this little diagram. It'll help you to realize, what is it that wisdom is calling me to here? Well, wisdom is to see God is at work in the world. God's all wise. He's all powerful. He's got a plan for the ages. He's got a plan for this world. It's all laid out in the Bible. And frankly, things are right on schedule. And what we need is, in this little diagram, a relationship with Him. I need to have a relationship with God. I need to know God. And then God, as He allows me through Christ to repent of my sin and believe on Jesus and have a born-again, Spirit-filled relationship with Jesus, He is giving me this invitation. He's inviting me to listen to Him daily. And He's going to speak to me through this book, the Bible, if I'll listen, if I'll humble myself and get in His presence and pray and say, God, talk to me today. I don't have the wisdom to run my own life. I need You to direct my life. And so as God speaks, then there's a crisis of faith, even as a believer, every day in our life. It's not a one time in the year we make these resolutions. We're listening to God daily. And there's this crisis of belief. Am I going to believe what God says? Yes, I choose to believe you, Lord. And then we adjust our life to obey God. And as we obey God, we come in that full cycle of now in our obedience to God, we're joining God in a faith walk of faith, a life of faith. And we experience God. We experience the presence of Christ. Yes, he's in us. But we experience his presence in a very real way as we obey him. And we exercise our gifts. We confess our sins. We make things right. We live biblically. And in living biblically, we experience God. Well, this is a wonderful illustration of what I think we're going to see in other words, the same principles from the book of Proverbs chapter 1. You see, it's God who created us. And the more we learn informationally, the more we should realize, yes, God exists. He is there. Man nor evolution could create what God has given us just in our human brain. I was interested. I was looking on the internet at a picture of the brain bow cerebellum. And it's amazing how God created the human brain. And I was reading about the human brain indexing and that it's going to consume several billion petabytes. Now, what's a petabyte? Well, this all goes back to a lecture at Harvard University. There's a neuroscientist, Jeff Lichtman, and he is attempting to map the human brain. And he calculated that several billion petabytes of data storage would be needed to index the entire human brain. Now, the internet is currently estimated to be 5 million terabytes. Those are smaller than petabytes, of which Google has indexed roughly 200 terabytes, or just 0.004% of its total size. Now, the numbers are astonishing when you stop to think of the size of our human brain, the number of neurons in it. Well, one petabyte is equivalent to all of the U.S. academic research libraries. That's one petabyte. Lichtman's calculation is that it will take several billion petabytes of storage to map the human brain. Do we serve an amazing God or what? He's created this brain that he's given to us. And life isn't going to work unless we have the wisdom to look to God for the direction that we need, the owner's manual, the scriptures. And Proverbs was written specifically to help young people. Now, it's a great book for older people, too, to begin well life. And you'll see that as we read these first few verses. And the Bible has stood the test of time. Whether you're 8 or 80, what we're going to look at today will change your life if you'll believe it and practice it by God's grace in your life. Three things we're going to look at in the first few verses of Proverbs 1 that you need if you're to start well 2014, but how about every day and how about the rest of your life? Three things you're going to need. Number one, you're going to need wisdom. Number two, you and I are going to need the fear of the Lord. And number three, we're going to need God's view of marriage, family, and education. Now let's look at these three things that are given right in the introduction of this book of wisdom. Number one, you and I need to start with wisdom. We need to start with wisdom. Look at verse one. The proverb of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom. What's the very first word that he comes to know wisdom? That's what you need. He's speaking now to his sons and to the young people who will come in the generations following, and instruction to perceive the words of understanding or insight. Knowledge isn't enough. It's not enough. If it was, our world ought to be in pretty good shape today, or at least improving with all of the increase of knowledge. But wisdom, chokmah, the Hebrew word, is used 45 times in the book of Proverbs. It's used in the Old Testament to speak of the skill of a craftsman or a sailor or a singer or a mourner or administrator or a counselor. And these people, being knowledgeable and experienced and efficient in their areas of living, were considered skillful, therefore wise. Well, in the spiritual realm, a person who is wise is knowledgeable and experienced in following God's ways. A wise person has the ability of seeing and living from God's point life point of view of life. Do you have a God-centered life view? Well, frankly, we're not born with that. We're born like sheep gone astray, going our own way. We don't come with that original equipment. That's why we need the new birth, and we need the Holy Spirit to come in, and we need the Word of God to renew our mind. We choose the fear of the Lord. We choose to follow God by God's grace. And so I do hope that that is one of the great desires of your heart is, Lord, I want wisdom. I want to be able to see life from your point of view and skillfully live life in light of your point of view. That's how I want to live my life. Now, closely tied with wisdom is the word instruction here. And so instruction speaks of discipline, chastening, correction. It's not just information. It talks about a teachable spirit, a moldable spirit to accept God, the owner's authority, and his being the ultimate source of wisdom. So that then we can develop the character of mind and life that is following and imitating our God. Highly intelligent people, unfortunately, are often prideful. How foolish for any of us to think that any ability we have, that we earned it. Whatever we have was given to us. We're stewards. We're not creators. God's the creator. We're the creation. But unfortunately, if a person becomes prideful and takes credit for what God and others has given to them, they immediately stifle the grace of God in their life. And so it is many a very intelligent person waste their life. They just blow their life down the drain because there's no room for God in their life because their mind is so small they can't see God. All they can see is themselves. God gives wisdom through his word. Look with me at verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive or understand the words of understanding or insight, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity. So closely tied to wisdom and instruction in verse 2 is perceiving the words of understanding. Now, it should be obvious to us that the Creator is bigger than the creation. God is so much bigger than we are. And so wisdom then comes to those who have the ethical discernment and the power of judgment, the perception and the right use of knowledge that I need understanding, and that can only come from God. Only God can give me understanding. It's a gift from God. Understanding is going to be a lifelong pursuit in our life if we're wise. And so how does God give us understanding? Through the scriptures, through the Bible. Through godly people he brings into our life who are saturated with scripture. We can learn from Jesus, who is wisdom personified. Now, Paul was a very proud man, very successful, religious man. But when he was finally humbled and he believed on Jesus Christ and he bowed before the living Christ and he said, my Lord and my God, God began to work in Paul's life to use him mightily. And Paul became a wise man. He was knowledgeable before he was saved, but he became wise once he accepted Christ and submitted to Christ to follow Christ in his life. Now, Paul wrote to young Timothy, a pastor, and he gave counsel to Timothy. And here's what he said in 2 Timothy 3. But continue thou in the things you have learned and been assured of, knowing of whom you've learned them, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto or for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Timothy, don't ever get past it. The foundation of your whole life is your relationship with God through Jesus. And you have that relationship through Scripture. That's where you learn of Jesus, his love for you, his person, his work, his atonement. Then he went out and goes on to say, Timothy, all Scripture is breathed out by God. And it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Timothy, God's got a plan for your life, but the only way God's plan is going to be worked out in your life is that you know God through his son Jesus and through his word, the inspired scriptures. So that's where Paul pointed Timothy. God's wisdom and mind is revealed in Jesus. And in the inspired scriptures, the Bible. My parents wrote in my Bible years ago, as a teenager, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. And my, have I found that to be a true statement in my own life. And so Timothy, a young man heading off in the right direction, went out in ministry with Paul and Barnabas, and then he got discouraged. He started believing wrong things. He got upset and he quit the ministry. But by the grace of God and the help of Barnabas, Timothy learned from his failures. And he got back in the saddle of service for God and living for God. And Timothy became useful again to others and even to Paul and Barnabas. He was restored to fellowship. Even though he'd failed in the past, a righteous man falls seven times and yet arises. So a great part of wisdom is having a teachable spirit. Not that we never sin, not that we never blow it, but that we repent when sin enters in. We get it right with God and we learn from it and we humble ourselves before God. Verse 3 talks about receiving the instruction of wisdom. That is, Timothy was willing to take correction. He was willing to take teaching from others. Though he was fearful in nature, Timothy grew in grace and his confidence, not in himself, but his confidence in God. It's not all about any of our abilities. Compared to God, none of us have any ability. But we do have God-given abilities when led by the Spirit, which can be used to the glory of God. And so Timothy grew. And we read in the Scripture that over time, Timothy, who was very timid and fearful, became a strong man of God. Even to the point where he went to prison for his faith because he stood for God. And he, according to the Scripture, was released from prison. And so God is at work in all of our lives, whatever our temperament or background, to make our life fruitful and useful to his glory. Timothy grew in wisdom, his sense of justice and judgment and equity that grew in his life over a lifetime. Now, as Timothy grew in wisdom through a teachable heart attitude, he learned more and more to see life from God's point of view, to look at life from God's point of view. He was willing to submit to God, changing his character, changing his actions, changing his thinking. He learned to take the long look into eternity and to get help from others. And God can do the same thing for you and me. He can teach us if we will humble ourselves and say, Lord, I want to learn. I want to be teachable. I want you to change me. And I don't ever want to get to the point where I quit changing and listening to you. Now, we see also that growing wisdom is needed by all people, young and old. Look at verse 4. To give subtlety or prudence to the simple, and to the young man or the simple person, the naive person, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning. And a man of understanding shall attain or acquire unto wise counsels or guidance. To understand a proverb and the interpretation of the saying, the words of the wise and their dark sayings or their riddles. See, the wisdom or the ability to handle life with skill and to see life from God's point of view. Everybody at every age needs that. We're always dealing with issues. We're always dealing with other sinners, with people, with problems. We need wisdom. We need wisdom from God. It's not if we have problems, it's what do we do when we have problems? Because that's part of life. We live in a fallen world where sin entered in. The Bible says, in a fallen world, trouble like sparks fly upward. Now, the issue is, how do we respond? God, give us wisdom. We'll face some problems in 2014. How will we handle them? If we handle them with wisdom, we'll be better for the problems. The problems will be an opportunity to go deeper with God, to grow in grace and glorify God, even through those problems. Now, young people are addressed here in verse 4. And the word for the youth here is simple or naive. That is, it's not talking intelligence. It's simply saying that a young person does not have a lot of experience. And therefore, a young person can be easily influenced for good or for evil, and even gullible at times. Those between the age of birth and marriageable age need to focus in on developing prudence or common sense, discretion, a righteous shrewdness about living. That's why you need to read the book of Proverbs every day. My advice. Somebody advised me in my youth, start reading Proverbs every day. Why? Because the wisest man that ever lived, under inspiration, wrote that book. The wisest man who ever lived started off wise, blew it, got right with God, came back and finished well. And he knew both sides of the ledger of living life without wisdom, even though he had knowledge, and then getting away from God, getting back with God. And he said, look, seek wisdom and live by it all the days of your life. And so as we would say in our youth, hopefully, but there's never a wrong time to start. It doesn't matter what our age is. I need wisdom. I need the skill to look at life from God's point of view. What will happen? Discretion develops in the life of that person. They begin to develop plans in their life, wise plans from God. They learn to hide themselves from dangers that destroy the potential of their life. They learn to make good choices. Now, one of the best pieces of counsel that I was ever given in my youth was to start prayerfully reading a proverb. And I love it. And do it to this day. Read the proverb for the day. Okay, so whatever the date is, I never have a hard time figuring out which one I'm going to read. Because I just read the date. And prayerfully read the proverb. Look for one thing that speaks to you. I like to underline in my Bible. And circle and put stars and find something. One truth that I can hang on to for that day. And you know what? Proverbs is so practical. Because it's all about daily living and relationships. You'll never go away from the proverb for the day without something you can apply to your life. Now, I love to also journal and write something down. Some days there's not time to do that. Sometimes it's a mental writing it down in my brain. But sometimes just manually writing it down, putting it into my computer, putting it in my notes, and finding one thing that I can pray back to God and talk to God about, interact with God in view of what he's telling me through his word. I didn't know as a young person, what should I do in my life? What career should I follow? Who should I marry? Where should I go to school? I didn't know any of those things. But fortunately, through reading the Proverbs, I figured out that I didn't know. And I better go to God because he's the only one that did know. He would see my whole life because he's infinite and eternal. And nobody better could direct my life than God. Now, have I followed God perfectly throughout my life? No, I've blown it many times and I've had to ask forgiveness. But praise God, he never fails. And getting that in my youth, this perception that I can't figure out my life, God can. And I'm going to follow God. I'm going to follow God in my life. If you can get that into your life, young person, it'll stand you in good stead the rest of your life. You see, life-changing decisions are being made particularly in the days of your youth, the young adults here. You're deciding, what's my worldview going to be? Who will be my closest friends? Where am I going to go to get my training and education? Who will I marry? What kind of person do I want to become? What kind of person do I want helping me to rear my children? How best can I glorify God and serve God with my life? These decisions are being made right now in your life, and they will impact the rest of your life. Now, wisdom is also needed by older people. Verse 5, that those who get wisdom need to keep getting wisdom. That is, we never come to the end of the need to know how to handle life with skill and see life and living from God's point of view. The problem with age is that often we have experience. And maybe, particularly if we have followed God in our earlier years like Solomon did, we can begin to depend upon our experience instead of depending on God. And at that point, we're depending on ourselves and we're set up for a fall. And so it is, whatever age we might be, we have an ongoing need to continue to get wisdom from God. And as we continue to go to God for guidance, his word, his Holy Spirit, until the day we go home to heaven, then we're usable. And God can keep working through us. Even though we're not perfect, we're growing in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus. The moment we stop learning and listening and humbling ourselves before God, we'll go in the wrong direction. That's the way of the flesh. I started reading the Proverbs as a young person. I'm a grandpa. I'm still reading the Proverbs. I still don't have all of these truths in my life, but I want them. And that hopefully will be my pursuit until the day I go home to heaven. My wife and I have often talked about the fact that we have the privilege of facilitating a number of different parenting classes. Here we are, grandparents. We're still learning about parenting. We're still learning basic truths about relationships, husband, wife, parent, child, parent, grandchild, all these relationships that God ordained, we all are to learn and keep learning all the days of our life. Now, the ability then to understand the wisdom of God, the riddles of life, the in-depth teaching of Scripture, it comes from drinking deeply of the Scriptures and God's Word. Psalm 119, verses 97 and following tell us that the person who meditates in the law of God will become wiser than their enemies. They'll have more understanding or insight than their teachers, and that they will have understanding even more than the ancients because they obey the precepts. And so wisdom is not all about age. It's all about heart direction and where we're going in our life. So the goal then of life is to know and to have wisdom. And I would suggest to you that wisdom is found in Jesus. In him is found all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is the personification of wisdom, for he is wisdom. And the total salvation of God in my life, not only from hell, but salvation from myself, from the deceptions of Satan, from the temptations of life that can destroy me. I need this as my life goal. Look at verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, we'll talk more about this, but let's just focus for a moment on how this relates to wisdom. The fear of the Lord, verse 7, is the beginning of knowledge. But if you put a little note, look up Proverbs 9:10 later, and you'll see that the fear of the Lord is also the beginning of wisdom. And then Proverbs 14:27 says the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. The fear of the Lord. What is this reverence of God, this fear of God? It's pretty important. Proverbs 15:33 says the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And then Proverbs 29:25 says the fear of man brings a snare. Wisdom is much more than facts or knowledge alone. It's this ability to handle with skill our lives as we look at life from God's point of view. And as we are rightly related to God in a personal relationship with him, it will affect every other relationship in life. Solomon learned the hard way, and he was inspired to write these words for us. He knew what he was talking about. You see, the little child who knows Jesus as their Savior and believes in God, has a home in heaven, has eternal life. And that little child is so much more blessed than the most highly educated PhD who does not believe in God and is headed to a Christless eternity separated from God. We need to see that wisdom begins with a relationship with God. So we must start out with wisdom. Secondly, we need to start out then with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. That is the starting point for all of our knowledge, our education and learning, is the fear of the Lord. That's what verse 7 is saying. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So if we start out with wisdom, where are we going to get it? Well, we've got to get it from God. You know, wisdom comes from God. And so the fear of the Lord is foundational to every other relationship. We get wisdom as we learn to reverence God. That's why earlier in the diagram it had the picture of the man or the young person or the adult or whoever daily bowing before God and listening to God. The fear of the Lord. I respect you, Lord. I want your direction. I want you to lead me and teach me. Now, since all knowledge ultimately comes from God, God's the starting point. He's the starting point of education and learning. Our homes, our churches, our schools should all teach from a God and Christ and Bible-centered worldview. How foolish our courts were to throw the Bible out of our schools, in our government schools. And the results have been disastrous. So it is that we need to work and pray toward the expansion of Christian education. And we need to work and pray toward the equipping of parents to teach their own children a God-centered life view, a biblically based education. The foundation for wisdom, a right relationship with God, is the fear of the Lord. Here it is in verse 7. This living reverence and respect for God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So you say, what does it mean to fear God? Well, it means you respect God. You respect God. You reverence him. You trust him. You have this affectionate dependence upon God. God, I need you. You know, we ought to reverence God. I mean, we ought to reverence God. Think about when God gave the Ten Commandments. What was the backdrop up on the Mount Sinai? And there's thunder and lightning. Why? Because God is a holy God. And Hebrews tells us in the New Testament that it's a fearful thing, a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. If it weren't for Christ, all we'd have is judgment and hell. But praise God for Jesus. And we have sonship. We have acceptance. We have love. We have forgiveness. But the Bible does speak of a lake of fire. And it speaks of the dreadful thing of being in utter darkness for all eternity with no second chance for those who reject God's grace. So one Puritan writer, William Gurnall, put it this way. He said, "We fear men so much because we fear God so little." And there's much truth in that. Now, the Bible tells us that God should be respected for who he is. He's almighty. He's holy. He's powerful. He is the judge, the ultimate judge of all the living. He is the creator. And the Bible tells us the Father seeks those who will worship him in spirit and truth. You can tell your own heart if you're pleasing God, if your heart has begun to be changed by regeneration and grace through faith. Are you a seeker after God? Do you worship God in spirit and in truth? Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Do you have a desire to obey God? Because if you love God, you will obey God. It will be in your heart to obey God. Disobedience shows disrespect, dishonor, and lack of God, of love. So this fear of the Lord must be first in our life. And true knowledge begins with the fear of the Lord. It all starts there. Solomon had it in his youth. He said, God said, "You can have whatever you want. I want wisdom." And God gave it to him. And then he was so blessed with the wisdom that God gave him that he failed to fear God. And he began to fear his pagan wives and wanted them to be happy. And he actually built temples to pagan gods and made sacrifice, incense to pagan gods. Though he knew in his heart it was wrong, he did it to please them. And a wise man became a foolish man because he didn't continue to fear God. He didn't continue to reverence God in his life. He repented, got that right with God, wrote the book of Ecclesiastes and confessed his failure and his vanity in going his own way. But the point is, we need to fear God all the days of our life. The beginning days, the middle days, and the ending days. We need to fear God. So we need to start out with wisdom. Then we need to start out with the fear of the Lord. And then finally, we need to start out with God's view of marriage, family, and education. Look at this simple verse, verse 8. God's view of marriage is a father and a mother teaching together under God. "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother." You see, God established marriage, didn't he? There in the Garden of Eden. He brought one man and one woman together. When you begin to tamper with one man, one woman marriage, you are tampering with the basic building block of society established by God the Creator. And societies that do tamper with that building block and dishonor God by their tampering are destined to instability and moral chaos and the breakdown of that society eventually, apart from repentance and turning back to God. God's plan is teaching with authority and affection, truth and love, the instruction of the father, the law of the mother. God blends both the law and love of mother and father together to communicate to the heart of the child the love of God. And in a wounded world with many wounded people, how the church needs to be a loving family that reaches out to all people with the message of hope and grace and forgiveness in Christ. Reverence for God, respect for God-given authority, starting with parents. Now, parents then need to teach this and model this, that God has established do's and don'ts for our good. And the primary responsibility for educating is given by God to parents to lead in the biblical education of our children. And you know what? Blessing comes to those who honor and obey their parents. Verse 9 says this, "For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck." Ephesians tells us, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your mother and father, that it may be well with you and you will live long in the earth." It's called the circle of blessing. You want to bless your children? Then teach them what's God's way of blessing. The blessing is twofold. Your responsibility as a young person, obey and honor. Obey is an action. Honor is an attitude from the heart. As you obey and honor the promise of the circle of blessing, God says it will be well with you and you will live long in the earth. God will lengthen your years and he will bless your years if you respect his authority working through, yes, imperfect, but God-established authority in your life. Wise parents take God at his word. They teach these things to their children day and night. They seek to practice them in their own lives, knowing that God's way will bring blessing to their posterity. As we apply this into our lives, obviously it all starts with this. Because all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Jesus, the wise thing for me and for you to do is to say, yes, Jesus, I need you as my Savior. I believe you died on the cross for my sin. You rose again. I do receive you. I want you in my life as my Lord and Savior. But we don't stop there. We take that next step and say, now, because God teaches me wisdom's ways through the Bible, the written word, and through Jesus, the living word, I'm going to make this the practice of my life to experience God. I don't want to just know about God. I want to experience God in my life. And so by God's grace, I am daily, Lord, seeking a relationship with you, whereby I listen to your invitation. Wisdom is calling and saying, come, follow my ways. And I'm going to humble myself and hear from you daily. Speak to me, Lord, every day through your word, the Bible. And as I pray to you, speak to my spirit about applying the Bible and living out the Bible. And as you show me what's right, even though often it'll be uncomfortable and it'll go against my way and my will, I will adjust my will to obey you. I will choose the fear of the Lord. And in choosing the fear of the Lord, I adjust my life to join God in his work. And I experience God in my life. What does this world need today? Well, one thing for sure this world needs is living letters. Men and women, young people of all ages who are experiencing God in their life. And a watching world cannot explain it away. All they can say is God is at work in that person's life. By God's grace, may that be said of you and of me to the glory of God, that God is at work in our life, as imperfect as we are. And then finally, I will believe and follow God's plan for God-centered marriage, family, and education. I'll take the lead in my home to teach the scriptures and teach my family. And I will surround my family with godly shaping influences. And as we do this, our lives will exude more and more evidences, not in a showy way, but in a genuine way. That family loves God. That dad, that mom, that young person, they love God. They fear God. I see evidences that they fear God by their attitudes, by their actions. May that be said of our lives to the glory of God.